Welcome everyone to this week's weekly market update with myself, Scott McCarron, July 7th, about an hour after the equity market closed. Hope everyone had a fantastic 4th of July weekend celebration and a safe one as well. It's been a nice short week for most, I would imagine, that are currently still working. It feels like it's been a long time since we've been able to have a nice positive day in the equity markets on podcast day, but thankfully, we have today. S&P up roughly 1.25%. NASDAQ up about 2%. You know, that's been the lagger really in this entire, well, this year. And the Dow up about 1%. So individual equities, speaking of those, we've really had some big movers today. RH being one of them, a nice little relief rally. AMD, and of course this depends on what portfolio you're actually in, but STX, Bank of America, IPG, I mean, over half of the portfolio outperformed the equity indices today, so the S&P, for instance. That's been kind of nice to watch today. And so one thing to take away from this, though, because we are still adamant that we're going to see 3,600 to maybe down to 3,400. And yes, I know that's 8% roughly, and that's a big range, but that's just the markets we're in. One thing I will say is we plan on deploying cash at 3,600 because what I do expect is a snapback rally, or I think it's very possible at least, to get a snapback rally, kind of like the COVID markets. And the problem could be with that is if you don't have your cash deployed, you may end up trying to chase it, you know, all the way up. And then, of course, you sort of negated the advantage of having the cash position this, you know, all the while here. And so we certainly don't want that by any means. So 3,600 is still our kind of line in the sand there. While I do like seeing days like today, it is definitely welcomed. But what, and Neil and I were actually talking about this earlier today, what it really looks like is this, I believe, is going to sucker a lot of people back into the markets with the mindset of, well, especially if it goes higher from here, with the mindset of, uh-oh, the lows are in. I don't want to miss this move higher. This is a head fake, because if you look at the S&P throughout the year, there's been a lot of these head fakes. And what happens is people get to a point where they believe that they are going to miss out. And the fear of missing out is a pretty powerful thing when it comes to investing. So if you look at a chart of the S&P, all year long we've had these head fakes followed by a lower low. And then another head fake higher, lower low. Another head fake higher, lower low. So now I believe we're seeing all the while a lot of these head fakes higher are actually higher, or I'm sorry, lower highs than the previous one. So that's really a bearish thing. If this head fake going into the July 27th announcement, now we have seen the markets rally into those announcements and sell off afterwards. But here's something to pay attention to. July 27th, the next announcement, right? So as long as the market doesn't get above 4,200, and honestly, I'd be willing to say 4,175, then that's going to be another lower high into that rate announcement. That's going to be your 3,600 within a couple of weeks after that. So I don't think we're far away. We're really excited about our opportunities for the cash on the equity side. And we don't think that we think it's going to happen off of this rate announcement. It does look like the probability is about 90, I believe it was not either 96 or 98% of a 75 basis point hike. So that'll definitely rattle the cages a little bit. What's really interesting about that, and let's cover that, because I was having that conversation earlier in the week, and I noticed something that I had not noticed prior. Okay, so I don't know, it changed a little bit. Maybe, so now it's 94% probability of 75 basis points. Pretty convincing, though, I would say. And that can continue to change as we move into it. I cannot imagine they only do 50 basis points. But with this group, you really just cannot tell. This group, meaning the Federal Reserve, they are pretty unpredictable. And I don't think they have an option to pivot. But I just, you know, if somebody's going to pivot, it's probably going to be Powell. And so it does add an extra layer of uncertainty there. But if you look at it and you go through and you step out to September, then all of a sudden it's about a 50-50 shot as to whether or not those have actually changed a lot too. 2.25 to two. Yeah. So actually it's overwhelmingly priced in at a half point in September. I don't think they're going to do anything in November. We've talked about why that is. They don't want to be pointed at as or blamed as having some sort of influence over the midterm election. So I kind of think they won't do anything in November. And then December is kind of 50-50 as to whether or not they'll go – basically whether or not – we're going to be somewhere between 3 and 3.5 in the Fed funds rate. We're currently at 1.5. So we're looking at doubling the Fed fund rate between – now and the end of the year. What's interesting, though, that I get to look at is then you go into the Feb announcement of next year, and that actually shows unchanged. So now all of a sudden you got this plateauing happening between December and February. Now, as we all know, when something plateaus, what comes after that, and that is an eventual decline, coming back off the other side. So as we continue to talk about fixed rates, it's important to be able to, part of the reason why I started talking about these so early is because I want to give everyone plenty of time to think about if that's something they want to do, and if so, what their number is and all that. But what's also important about revisiting them on a continual basis is that it allows you to learn and get an edge and an idea of what to expect, not only as to what the number will be percentage-wise, but also the timing of when this needs to happen. And these probabilities are what are giving us both of those. So, you know, I really think we're going to see 7-8%. And I think we might see higher, but I feel pretty good about 7-8% guaranteed rates, different instruments, different ways to do it. But, you know, the unknown was the timing of it. And what's interesting to me is now it looks like we know the timing. And that's going to be somewhere around December to February. After February, it looks like there's a real chance that rates will start to decrease, which means if not already locked in, all of those fixed rates will definitely decrease rapidly with the Fed funds rate. So keep that in mind. We still got plenty of time to think about it. I mean, we're just in July, but, you know, as we all know, time really kind of flies, and it does look like somewhere around the back end of this year to the front end of next year. And you're just going to have to believe me when I tell you that the window for these things tends to be pretty tight. And when the Fed starts dropping rates, and they will, they've already told us that. Got a target inflation rate of 2 to 3%. We're going to do whatever we have to get back down there. Well, with that means fixed rates go with it, and they do it in a very quick fashion. So other than that, that's basically all I really had. I do kind of think, now do remember, we've got the webinar July 20th. The purpose of that is to, and we can use it to talk about equity prices as well, but I really wanted to address the different ways in which one can achieve a fixed rate type of situation, what the pros are for each one, what the cons are for each one, but it's also helpful because you can see my screen and ask questions live, which I've found to always be that's always been a good way to learn. But more than anything, you can see what I'm talking about, what I'm looking at, like even as of what I'm looking at right this second to describe this. So it makes a lot more sense. I think that'll be a good event that we're going to do on a quarterly basis. It probably isn't always going to be highlighting something like fixed rates, but it is going to be an opportunity to highlight a certain approach, whether it's a product or whether it's a financial planning approach or, you know, kind of the idea was to also get some estate planning ideas in there and some tax planning ideas in there, individually. So I do think it's going to be helpful. Looking forward to that. But other than that, other than the July 20th, I have a feeling these weekly podcasts, we're going to do them, but they may be boring because I have a feeling that we're going to drift higher into that announcement. Now, after that announcement, it's going to be a different story. And I'm thinking that at that point, we're going to be talking about how we're going to be deploying all this cash. So anyways, I think we touched on quite a few things. Again, I hope everyone had a fantastic 4th of July holiday. I'm going to wish everyone a great upcoming Friday and weekend, and look forward to doing this again next week.